Now, when we look at the world around us, first glance, we might see the state of the world and think there's not much to rejoice about. We see various conflicts going on around the world, don't we? There's wars and states of unrest. We see also poverty-stricken nations and men, women, and it's especially hard when we think about children who are dying through lack of food, through lack of water, and through living in impoverished conditions. Then we see the injustice surrounding the spread of wealth. It's horrible to think that on the one hand, we have children and people who are dying, they're poor, they're destitute, they have no resources, can't feed themselves, can't clothe themselves. And on the other hand, we have the super rich, CEOs of massive companies who pay themselves outrageously high wages and ridiculous bonuses, not caring about the spread of wealth, not caring about what they can do for those who don't have. And that's just some of the issues across the world. What about the latest issue, the big issue right now? COVID-19, coronavirus, and how that is affecting the world, the amount of people across the world that have died through that and who've become very sick and ill through that, and whose circumstances have changed dramatically through that virus. Again, that's across the world, worldwide. It's hard. Hard to think of these things, but that's what's happening today. But let's have a look at what's happening a little closer to home. In the UK, the COVID-19 death rate is the second highest in the world at over 30,000. We're in that situation where some people can't go to work, they've been furloughed. Some people are scared to go to work because they just don't know if it's safe. There's that uncertainty, you know, uncertainty about whether you're going to have a job after the lockdown or not. You know, some people have already become unemployed where their employers just couldn't manage to pay their wages. We've seen now that the result of this is that the UK economy is now more or less in freefall. And we've got a government that can't seem to make its mind up what it wants us to do. And on top of all these things, there's been a massive rise in cases of domestic abuse due to the lockdown measures. Doesn't sound good, does it? Doesn't sound like reasons to be happy or reasons to rejoice. But this is what's happening in our nation at the moment. And that's just some of the issues. But what about closer to home? How are you personally affected by the current situation that you are in? For example, losing loved ones is very hard, no matter how they've passed away, whether it be from a virus like COVID-19, or from any other illness, or from any accident, or any way it may happen. It happens to all of us eventually, but it's still hard, isn't it? How about your health? Are you struggling with any serious health conditions? Have you got an ongoing pain that isn't going away, and you know it's not going to go away? Those kind of things aren't easy to bear, are they? How about your finances? Are you unemployed? Are you just struggling to make ends meet, or just worried about your job? Now, these are just some of the issues that we're facing today in the world, in this nation, and in our personal circumstances. And that affects all of us, Christians and non-Christians alike. And on the face of it, if we were just to focus on these things, we would think to ourselves, There's no reason at all that we should be happy. There's no reason at all that we should be rejoicing. But I'm hoping that through the study this morning, we will find that we have plenty that we can rejoice about. Plenty that we can be thankful for. Plenty of reasons that we would have joy. So our study this morning comes from Romans chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 1 to 11. But before we get into our study, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for the love that you've shown us, the fact that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be a sacrifice for our sin, that he bore the punishment that we could not bear. He died the death that we deserved. But we thank you that you raised him to life so that he would be our hope. Lord, we ask that you would help us to remain focused upon you in our times of trouble, that we would be looking upwards rather than inwards, that we would trust you, that we would be confident in you, and thus have peace, have joy, and that we would be able to rejoice. Show us how to do this through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read our text for this morning. It says in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, earlier we spoke about a lot of things that would give us cause for concern, that would give us cause to feel anxious and unsettled, that would shake the ground beneath our feet. But I'm hoping that by what we've just read, we will see that we have plenty to be rejoicing about, plenty to be happy about as Christians. Here's a question. How do you feel when you get something really cool that you didn't work for, you didn't earn it, you possibly didn't even deserve it, but somebody gave it to you just because? It's great, isn't it? And in our study, we're going to see that this is exactly what our salvation is like. We'll see that we've done nothing to earn the gifts of salvation and reconciliation, but God offers them to us freely through his Son, Jesus. We're going to see that we can rejoice continually, even in the midst of tough times, the times that we've just spoken about. And why can we rejoice? because we know that God loved us, God saved us, and has reconciled himself to us and given us the deposit of his Holy Spirit so that we would know that we belong to him and he is ours. We're going to see that in our faith we are growing. We are constantly growing. We're growing in love, we're growing in hope, and we're growing in character. And all this is ours, even though we were sinners in rebellion against God. But he loved us enough to provide a way out of that old life and to become new through his Son. So yes, we will have reasons to rejoice. And I feel that the first thing that we really need to be able to truly rejoice is to know peace, is to have peace. Let's look at Romans 5 verse 9. It says, since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? You see, we're rescued from God's wrath. So we should now experience the peace from that rescue. You see, when people live in opposition to God, they're living in fear. And in Isaiah 48:22, God says this. He says, there is no peace for the wicked. And you know what? They had reason to fear because God promises wrath and judgment for the wicked, meaning those people who refuse to turn their hearts to him. You see, the blood of Jesus is what makes atonement for us, for our sins. Just as the blood of animals atoned for the sins of the Israelites under the law of Moses. And it's through Jesus that we are justified and made right with God. You see, we're not going to know peace. We're not going to know true peace until we have been made right with God. I'm a firm believer that it takes true peace to be able to stand in the midst of chaos and in the midst of trouble and have no fear and have no worries, because we know that we are God's children and that God has a plan for us, and that plan is for us to spend eternity with him. It's through Jesus that we are justified and made right with God. And if we've been made right with God and we continue to live in Christ's righteousness, we will be saved and rescued from God's wrath when he comes to execute his justice and judge everyone for the deeds on the earth. You see, whether we believe it or we don't believe it, Christ is going to come. And Christ is going to come to judge the world. And everybody will be judged according to their deeds. And for those of us who know God, who know him through Christ, our eternal condition is secure. We'll be with him in heaven forever. But for those who don't know him, I will struggle to find where they would have their peace and what their peace is really focused on or centered on. So we can be thankful and we can rejoice that we have peace because we have been rescued from the coming wrath, the wrath of God when he comes to judge the world. Secondly, we've been reconciled to God. And it says in Romans 5:10, it says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You see, God took the initial step in reconciling the people of the world to himself. We didn't initiate it. because we didn't even know what love is. As 1 John 4:10 says this, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." We were his enemies because we lived contrary to his will. We were following our own hearts. We were doing whatever we wanted to do, just following our own desires. But he came despite our rebellion. Christ came to rescue us. And if God loved us enough to reconcile us to himself through Jesus, even when we were sinners, even when we was in rebellion, even when we hated God, he will surely save those who have already been reconciled to him and made righteous in Jesus' name. So when it comes to that time when Christ comes again to execute his judgment on the world, we will be secure. We have been saved. We will have no fear because we stand righteous in Jesus' name. So what's the second reason to rejoice? Because firstly, we can rejoice because we have peace. We have a peace that defies all understanding. We have a peace that can transcend all the difficulties and oppositions that we face in this life. But the second reason that we have to rejoice is the joy everlasting that we will have. The joy everlasting that is ours. And we see this in verse 5. Firstly, we see joy in hope. And it says, "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We have many reasons to rejoice. We can rejoice in the hope that we have in the Lord. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for." Now, the godly hope we have is not just a wish or a desire or something you fancy, but it's an expectant certainty of what is to come. We are certain that Jesus is coming back. We're certain that we will spend eternity in heaven. We are certain that we will receive new bodies, and we are certain that God will bring justice to the world. And we wait expectantly for all these things to happen. It's not a matter of if, or we wish it's going to happen. No, it's something that is definitely going to happen. We know it's going to happen, and we wait expectantly. This is our hope, and it should bring us joy to wait for these things. It should bring us joy in knowing that we will be with him when he comes to collect us. But what does the hope of the glory of God mean? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 says this. It says, "There will be a day when God comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among those who have believed." So God will be glorified in his people. That's the church. That's the brothers and sisters like myself who believe in Christ, who have put their faith in Christ and believed in the one that God has sent. And all the world will see that we are the sons and daughters of the King. They're going to see who the sons and daughters of the King truly are. And we're going to see the glory of the goodness of God and rejoice. While those who don't know God and do not know obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they'll be punished and shut out from his presence forever. So we can rejoice that there's going to be a day that God will be glorified in us, in his church, in his people. Secondly, we spoke about some of the issues around the world and around the nation and our personal circumstances, and we spoke about suffering. But we can have joy in suffering. We can rejoice in our sufferings. Romans 5:3 says this: we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. When we endure trials, temptations, persecutions, disappointments, any of the above, we don't have to become sullen. We don't have to become discouraged. But we can continue to rejoice and be glad in all the things that God has done. Not only what he has done, but what he is doing and what he will do. As we suffer these different obstacles, we can choose to either get angry or blaming God for not coming through, or we can keep fighting the good fight of faith and pressing on to victory. See, we can rejoice in our suffering because it produces something. Suffering teaches us patience and produces perseverance in us. James 1 verse 12 says this: blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. He will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love him. Wow. Isn't that great? All we do is stand up under the trial and we persevere, and we know that God has promised us a crown of life. In other words, we're going to be with him in heaven for eternity. We can be confident and joyful in the promise of life that God gives to all those who stand firm in their faith, in the face of opposition and in the face of disappointment. We can be confident and joyful in his promises. Where else can we have joy? What about our salvation? Shouldn't that be a reason for our rejoicing? And not just rejoicing on the day it happens, but constantly rejoicing. Listen to this, Romans 5 verse 11. Verse 11 says, not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Philippians 4:4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Even if nothing seems to be going right in our lives, we can rejoice in God because of Jesus and because of what he has given us through his death and his resurrection. See, Jesus did what was impossible for us to do on our own. He reconciled us to God and cleansed us of our sins. And because of this reconciliation and forgiveness, we have everlasting salvation, which grants us eternal life and rescue from the powers of sin and death. Imagine that, this eternal life, with no sin, no death, spending eternity with our Lord. What a situation to be in. And we know that's a situation for those of us who know Christ. We know that's what our situation will be when all this has ended, when the poverty has ended, when the coronavirus has ended, when the injustice has ended. We know that we're going to spend our eternity in heaven with our Lord, where sin will not touch us, where death will not touch us, where we will feel no pain. So what would we do in response to what we've heard this morning? Well, we should press on. Romans 5 verse 3 says, suffering produces perseverance. You see, Christians, especially those who radically follow Jesus' life and teaching, should expect persecution, should expect suffering, because that's what he said would happen during his life on earth. He told us that because the world hated him, the world will also hate us. He told us to expect hatred from the world because we follow him. And Jesus also told us that we would encounter trouble in this world, but that he has overcome the world. Now, that overcoming victory achieved by Jesus through his death and resurrection is ours as well. Why? Because we belong to him. So we too can overcome the suffering, temptations, trials, and the troubles of this world because he lives inside of us. You see, any hardships that we can encounter in life can help us as long as our attitude is right. You know, we go through certain situations and different things and different hardships. And if our attitude is one of, oh, poor me, and feeling sorry for ourselves, we're not going to overcome those. But if our attitude is one of, I'm going to press on because I know what I have laid up ahead of me. I know what Christ has done for me. I know what God is doing for me right now. And I know what he's going to do for me in the future. If that is our attitude, then we should be able to stand in the face of persecution and face of trials and face of temptations and in the face of troubles, we should be able to stand if our attitude is right. We shouldn't blame God or say he's tempting us, according to James 1:13. But we should fight through the trial and trust Jesus to bring us through. And we can rejoice the entire time because we know that Christ has overcome the world and he will give us the strength to endure. He's given us the Holy Spirit's power to endure the things, the difficulties that we're going to have to face as Christians or as people in this world. And in the end, do you know what happens? We gain because perseverance to keep fighting and patience to wait the victorious outcome just adds to us. It just adds to us. It adds to us character. And that's what it says in Romans 5:4. Perseverance produces character. As we persevere through our trials and difficulties, that perseverance produces character. Now, what does it mean when we talk about someone's character? What does a person with character look like? Is it something that we are born with or something that is developed in us? Character speaks of a person's reputation and the person's integrity. How can perseverance through trials help a person to grow in integrity and gain a good reputation? Well, here's an idea. Let's say you're going through a trial, you're going through a difficult period in your life, and you persevere through that, knowing that God has the best for you. He has your best interests at heart, and you rely upon him. You throw yourself upon his mercy. You stay in constant communion with him. That you do not allow the trial to drive you so down in the dumps that nobody can lift you. That you don't allow the trial to allow you to become angry and bitter. Will you not gain reputation then? Would you not gain good character then? If we're resigned to simply give up or get angry during the trials of life, our character cannot grow. And we do not allow God to accomplish everything in us that he wants to. Brothers and sisters, listen, we're not meant to stay stagnant, but we are meant to grow. Grow in character, wisdom, and knowledge of God. So we can rejoice when we're going through our trials, because going through our trials produces perseverance, and then our perseverance, as we persevere through our trials and through our tribulations and through the difficulties of life, our character is built. And you know what? Our character produces something. Our character produces hope. Romans 5:4. See, having moral integrity produced in us through suffering and having to persevere through suffering, we learn to have hope because we've learned to trust God and we've seen him move on our behalf. And many of us have seen this time and time again, that we've gone through a trial and we've just had to rely on God and we've just had to hang on to God and persevere through that trial. And we learn through that trial and through that perseverance, through that suffering, to have hope. And we learn that because we've seen God move on our behalf. He's come through for us time and time again. And ultimately, he will come through for us in the end. We know that if we keep fighting and standing firm in our faith, God will be there and come through for us. So why is it important to remain hopeful in this life and not to lose faith? Basically, so that we would stand. Basically, so that we would continue to trust in him, trust in the Lord, trust in his plan for our lives, trust in what he has spoken about our eternity with him, and not lose our faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who has reconciled himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, Jesus came so that we can be made whole again, reconciled to God our Father, with unlimited access to him through his Son. We rejoice because Jesus gives us hope. Hope for the unbeliever to be transformed and to receive a new life. Hope for the believer to escape the wrath of God's judgment and receive everlasting life. We rejoice because Jesus' sacrifice is a gift to us, holy and undeserved, but given because God is merciful as well as just. So we've seen that we have many reasons to rejoice. Close to home, we can see that we have many reasons to rejoice. Rejoice in the trials that you do go through because of what's being produced in you. Rejoice that we are God's children and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Rejoice in the fact that we know that we have a place in God's heaven and we will spend our eternity with him. A little further away from home, we can rejoice in what's going on when we see people coming together, trying to do their bit to help one another in these troubling times. We can rejoice that the gospel message is still being preached and that people are still receiving that gospel message. We can rejoice that people are still being saved. Isn't God wonderful? Doesn't God give us plenty of reasons to rejoice, even in the midst of troubled times? So, brothers and sisters, my challenge to you this week is not to find a reason to rejoice. Find a reason why we shouldn't rejoice. There's a challenge, because it tells us in God's word that no matter where we are, what we're doing, what we're going through, we can rejoice. Amen.